Welcome to episode 228 of After the Credits. I'm your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Colleen, I paint paintings of carpets.
She does.
Dale, I do stuff.
Every single time that comes out, I was like, I don't know what's coming out. Sometimes it's just my name.
Yeah, I said nothing, so hey, whatever.
All right.
I have one of your paintings on my wall.
I know. I took a picture of it today as proof.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Click. Nice.
My art's on there. Another wall.
It is.
My art is actually on public display in a local cafe.
Now, for real though, did you guys just put it up or do they know it's there?
Well, there was like a water leak in the ceiling. So they had picture hooks on the wall, but nothing there. They had taken it down and like they had fixed the leak, but they hadn't put anything up. So I sort of like with my hands measured how far apart the thing was and went, I have art that big. And then I had a frame that was the right thing. So I mixed paint the same color as the sort of like a wooden sort of window casing and door frames. So I framed it, painted it, the outside of one of my paintings, put on the hangers, everything, or the wire. And I walked in there. As he's gone to get my coffee, I quickly stood up and hung it on the wall kind of thing, framed it, sat back down. He didn't notice it. And then all my friends walk in and they instantly go, yeah, that's one of Colleen's weird carpet paintings on the wall. And we were there probably for an hour and a half before he's like pouring us coffee and he's looking up going, where the hell did that come from? And I'm like going, I don't know. It was just there. I was like, okay.
Is it still there?
Yeah. A week later, it's still on the wall. I was thinking like I might smuggle in my Buster Keaton with the QR code on it, put up there, and then the week after, the Big Lebowski painting. Just a rotating gallery of carpets.
I like it. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, so we got some catch up. What have you guys been watching? Where should we start? With what?
TV, Netflix?
Sure, we could do TV first.
All right, so I've been watching Dirk Gently, the second season.
Ah, yes.
And the last season, because it's been canceled.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, probably Max Landis.
Because you mentioned that last time, right?
I like the second season more than the first season, because it's absolutely batshit crazy. And somehow, having a blonde Dirk Gently was really grating the first season, but somehow now I've seemed accustomed to it and it's not nearly as grating on me. So I got into it more. So I like that. Black Lightning, the first episode dropped Netflix.
Okay, everybody else watched it. I still haven't.
It's no Luke Cage. Luke Cage was amazing. But yeah, I'm pretty sure every week I'll be watching Black Lightning.
So is it weekly?
Yeah, they're not dropping the whole thing at once.
Okay.
Weekly. So I don't know if it's on some network television somewhere. So I don't know. And
I'm really enjoying it. And it's always interesting when you get like their whole environment. They've done really well. So you're really in a completely different place. It isn't just like a couple black characters in the middle of LA.
Yeah.
And the issues that they're dealing with. I love it.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to have to totally check this out.
And the final one for me was The End of the Fucking World with is a British show.
Yep.
And they have basically this young boy that is pretty sure he's a psychopath. All he thinks about is killing people. And then the strange weirdo girl decides she's interested in him and hijinks ensue. It's pretty fucking dark.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
End of the Fucking World.
Oh,
well,
wow.
End of
okay.
the F.
Okay.
Yeah. Pound sign, fucking world. And was it the coroner from the Sherlock series? I'm not going to tell you what his role is in the show, but he's in one episode and it's fucking awesome.
I thought the trailer looked interesting, but I don't know.
You know what? Again, I label myself really weird, but like there's this darkness in that first kid that like I thought about killing people all the time when I was younger. It was constant. Like I would daydream about basically slaughtering my classmates. Like it just was. I was an unhappy kid who wanted to take it out, although I never acted on my impulses. I want a brownie badge for that. But yeah, there's something about that kid that just go, I'll just go along with the craziness. All right.
All right.
I don't relate to. So those were the three for me.
Nice.
Only three, really?
Dale is
I guess you need time for painting or something, but I...
Passing out from work, you know, yeah. Just watching the news.
I watch way too much TV.
Well, there was other things I watched too, but like most of the Murdoch mystery season 8 and 9, but it was in the background. I wasn't paying attention, so.
Okay, I'm going to try and do a lightning round because you probably don't want to talk about all the stuff that I'm watching. Still watching Madam Secretary. Runaways has ended. I'm kind of hit and miss on it now. Like it's got a whole lot of really good stuff going for it, but the story seemed a bit slow. And in the comic, there was a different outcome that I think I liked better than what's happened on the TV show. Okay. So that might have colored it.
Okay, would you recommend it? Because I still haven't watched.
I would definitely watch like the first three episodes to see if the kids and the dynamics are still pretty good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, God, my articulation is gone today. Definitely give it a chance.
Okay.
Overall, I don't regret watching it. I don't watch it to the end. Happy is almost done. I don't know why I like this. Chris Maloney, like, just batshit. It is so wrong, but I just like it so much.
I still haven't hunted it down, but I have, like, great big post-it beside my computer screen to find it.
It just gets so wrong, but I'm still going with... Unlike a lot of other stuff, like... The penultimate episode was and it was clearly playing to end at Christmas time, so it's kind of weird watching something with a Christmas theme on it. But the penultimate episode was just so wrong.
Is it over like or
I have no
just
idea.
Season one versus
season one, like clearly, like I haven't actually looked it up online.
Yeah.
But if this is not the second to the last episode leading to a finale, then I'll eat the shorts just because of what happened in the thing.
Because you showed me that the start of the one episode, and I'm like, I'm so sold on this. Great.
And it did have a little bit of child-on-child violence.
Yes. Yes.
A very little bit. There's mostly like other things-on-things violence, but...
God, children, you know, cage matches. I'd watch that all the time.
There's some other really twisted stuff in there that might. Anyway, the librarians, I'm not digging so much this season. They seem to have lost their magic. I can't put my finger on why. Okay, of all the shows that I should be shitting all over, but I'm actually enjoying, Kevin Probably Saves the World.
Okay, I thought that looked like it could
be
fun.
The whole premise is just kind of like saccharine, but... I don't know what, and Jason Ritter kind of bothers me sometimes, but other times it's great.
I think he's so funny.
I just, and especially they've actually been bringing in towards the latter part of it some of the other characters. So I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I wish I could remember the actress's name, but the one that plays the angel.
It totally, when I saw like the premise, I'm like, this totally feels like Touched by an Angel.
It's Touched by an Angel with a very different kind of...
Which I always thought was the funniest title because it sounds like, now show us where the angel touched you.
Is this a really Catholic thing? Because this choir boy bet I'm just not in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Young Sheldon, I don't know, the kid playing Sheldon just kind of, and actually the dynamic with the mother sometimes. And of course, Annie Potts is. And yes. Apparently, actually, the woman playing the mother is the actual daughter of... The woman, I can't remember the name. So the woman played the mother in Big Bang.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
From Roseanne. Why can't I remember her name?
Jackie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
That was her Roseanne. Jackie.
I can't remember her name.
Yeah. So her daughter is playing her.
Nice.
A younger version of her.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. So The Flash is better than it was last season, but still not right back up there. Supergirl continues to be good.
Yes.
I'm really liking the curves they're throwing in Star Trek Discovery. They kind of
okay. So
this last episode redeemed themselves.
Dan and I mainlined the first half of the season of Star Trek Discovery in 2 days.
Yeah.
And when we got to the end of it, Dan's like, I think it was like on a Saturday, we were looking for something to watch. He's like, let's watch Star Trek. I'm like, there is no new Star Trek. You don't realize we have mainlined 8 episodes. We are caught up. Now we have to wait like the rest of the peons. holy shit, I love the Star Trek. I really do. Excellent. I legitimately love this Star Trek. And yes, last episode was fucking amazing.
Half season or whatever it was, I was kind of on the fence.
I was, but not.
Now with the reveals that have come out, like I'm there.
I'm so in. This could be, I think it's too early to tell. Dan's like, where does this fit for you on Star Trek? I'm like, well, it's too early to tell, but it might be better for me than the Next Generation, which is my second favorite Star Trek of all time. I'm still a big Voyager fan.
Enterprise.
I
know I'm one of the few.
You are so in the minority. Mind you, a lot of people like DS9, which I never cared
about. DS9 it stayed was okay. In one place.
This was my complaint.
The whole point is exploring, and you stayed in one place.
This was my complaint.
Well, it was, yeah.
So it was different.
We won't go into that one.
Sure, they had lots of Ferengis, which I'm all on board because the Ferengis kind of rule. the Enterprise for me, I didn't like the storyline when it started becoming serial kind of thing rather than standalone, but like the separate episodes, and I still say it has the best opening. I freaking love that. The combination of the imageries and the words just gives me goosebumps every time I see that opening.
I actually really like the opening theme for Discovery.
I really liked most of the episodes in the first and maybe second season, and then it really went off the rails.
Enterprise? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the third season, it was shit.
No, Discovery is legitimately amazing.
Cool.
I'm so in love with the show. It's amazing. And Jason Isaacs on TV. I will take that any day of the week. And when he pretends to put on the pretend British accent, hilarity. I was laughing so hard. Dan could not figure out why I thought it was so funny. I'm like, you should look him up and see what he really talks like. And then when he did, he's like, oh, okay. I'm like,
I think that's my biggest... single biggest reason for searching actors on YouTube is to hear what the real voice is.
Oh, man. I am legitimately in love with the show. Yeah.
The guy who played Apollo on Battlestar Galactica.
I know. Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
What is
Jamie,
going on?
Someone or other. Yeah.
Bamber.
Bamber?
I think he's Australian.
Is he Australian? Or is he whatever. English? He has, for our ears, a very noticeable accent,
yes,
which completely evaporates when he's on screen. It's like, that's awesome.
In everything.
Yeah.
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 The Good Place is just some amazing writing. Like, they just keep delighting me.
Is this the one with...
chick from
Ted Danson.
Yes, Ted Danson. Yeah. Okay, and
Kristen Bell.
Yeah, Kristen Bell. Okay, I really need to catch up on this. I know it's on Netflix. I just haven't watched any of it.
Well, the first season's on Netflix. Yeah. Second isn't out yet. So
yeah, like I say, like they take curves in there that are just so wonderful, and the characters. I should hate the characters, but I just I love them, and they do the stereotype. Actually, I just saw one thing. It's like, we all have each of the four characters a little bit in us. Which ones are you?
I contemplated going for Halloween this year as Janet.
Janet is awesome.
Janet is the best character on that show.
Okay, I legitimately just added it to my Netflix.
And she continues to get better.
I know, right?
Crazy. Lucifer is back. Always enjoying Lucifer.
We dropped it.
Oh, really?
Not for any reason other than we don't have time to watch all of the TV we want to watch.
It's triage.
It really was. It had been on the PVR the longest, and there were like 20 episodes that we hadn't seen. I'm like, okay, it's time to cut bait.
Lucifer is at this point fluff, but I'll take it.
Oh, totally.
I like it. Cardinal is back.
Woo-hoo. Yes. I'm really loving season 2.
The Magicians is back opening the season, and not quite enjoying it as much as some of the past stuff, but they had a scene in their first episode that was amazing, where the two of the characters know that they're being monitored as they talk in this fairy world. So they talk pop culture, and they had fucking subtitles underneath.
Oh, that's good.
And it's like, oh, so they're totally doing a... Cylon 6 on us, are they? And it was really well done.
What show is that?
The Magicians.
Oh, okay.
New CBC show, Burden of Truth. I'm kind of really on the fence of that. It's
Is that the one with Christian Krug?
Yeah,
who plays a lawyer or something.
It's kind of It's kind of like a that Julia Roberts.
Talking Brief.
No.
The Soderbergh one about the dirty water.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. The mystery is kind of intriguing. They always catch me, but so far the acting, I'm not sure I'm going to keep up with
that. I want to like her.
Yeah.
She's very, very, like, she has, like, this great screen presence, but she's so bland.
Well, and I think, yeah, I'm finding the whole thing really slow. I'm not sure it's entirely her fault. Like, the story
and
is...
All power to her that she always manages to bounce back off of the shows that she gets.
And like, I think she's actually got production credit on this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, she's super talented. I find she has like great presence, but the material or like something is always just a little bit off. But I mean, I really like Beauty and the Beast. Don't get me wrong. I was a fan.
I haven't actually.
Don't give me the look.
I haven't watched her in a lot of other stuff. Like, I've just been aware that she's out there. I don't think I've watched anything she's been in before, but the initial premise and the initial show was enough to keep me interested, mm-hmm. but now it just feels like it's getting really slow and kind of boring. So
Okay. We'll
see.
I like this. You try all the shows that I want to try.
There you go.
And you report back.
I got hooked on another CW show, Valor, about helicopter pilots, Black Hawk pilots,
which I thought Shadow looked Raiders. Ridiculous.
Oh, God, I know, but I just...
Sail!
I am enjoying the hell out of it, even though... And there's, like, not an unattractive person on this whole damn thing. They all look
this
amazing.
This is the thing with the CW shows.
Have you either of you seen, was it Wayward Daughters or Wayward Sisters or something? It's the spinoff from Supernatural?
No.
Okay.
I don't watch Supernatural anyway, so.
I gave up, like... seasons and seasons and seasons ago. So,
but the one thing I'll give it credit for is they are tackling, like, it has some nuance to it that I didn't expect. Like,
okay.
Like basically I watched it cause I was bored and it's like, oh, helicopters. And,
it
got me in, but
totally
they're dealing with like, people in the middle, like there's a lot of gray area.
Yeah.
In there,
oh,
and they're exploring that, and it isn't like everyone in the military is good. They actually dealt with sexual harassment. I mean, and it's all at a somewhat superficial level, but the fact that it's there on the screen
is interesting.
They have like a lesbian character in there who was the subject of the assault, and they, I mean, not in any serious dramatic sense, but I still give them a little bit of credit for at least putting it out there on the screen a little bit.
Oh. Awesome.
So yeah, like I said, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I'm not sure I should. And Falling Water. I don't know if you're.
Wait, you've mentioned this before.
Yeah, it's a really atmospheric kind of about people that have a shared. Well, basically, the whole world has this kind of shared dream state that most people aren't aware of, except for a certain class of people.
Okay.
And there's this intrigue going on because some people are manipulating it to their advantage, and it centers on three characters that in the first season discovered this, and a woman is trying to get her child back in the first one, and the child is a really strong dreamer. So in the second one, they're leaving, continuing with that story, and it's really quite a different stylistic sensibility to a lot of the other stuff I'm watching, and I almost like it just for that reason. But the characters are really interested, and the characters are quite non-typical for a lot of the stuff on there. So and then just the whole mystery of this world that they've created.
I like the concept. Yeah, I'm gonna have to check this out.
I mean, I think the closest thing was Sense8 kind of had the same kind of thing, but stylistically was so completely different. And they were telling a different story than Falling Water.
Cool.
Okay. That's it for my TV.
OK, Okay, well, you already touched
not
on...
Not as quick as I'd hoped.
That's fine. You already touched on a couple, Star Trek Discovery, yep. Which, again, we kind of mainlined. On the side note, in addition to that, it's really nice to see a Doug Jones in a role where he actually, like, acts and is not just, like, a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
So that was, like, really refreshing. But I'm just... I just love the show. Really do. I finally caught up with...
Captain Killy.
Yeah. Great. Totally, totally great. Traveler season 2 finally caught up. So, so good. I love Jennifer Spence. She plays Grace, the school counselor. She is, I think, my new favorite character
on
that show.
She is amazing.
She is awesome.
She steals the scene every time she's on.
Every time.
Agreed. Is that the show with Eric McCormick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Canadian one.
That scene with her and the director?
Yes.
After the... Oh.
The trial? Yeah, that was pretty hardcore. I really, really like that show. It's really whip smart. The characters are interesting. The sci-fi is interesting. I just love it. I can't recommend it highly enough. Cardinal season 2, you mentioned, is back. Really enjoying it. So far, so good. Dark. I think I'd started watching this when we talked last time. It's the German sci-fi mystery series on Netflix.
I went looking for that and I couldn't. I must have searched wrong.
Yeah, so it's on Netflix. It is just called Dark. It's really good. I did finish it. They leave it on a cliffhanger where they travel in time to a different period that we hadn't sort of seen before, and they leave it there. So obviously there's way more going on that we don't know about. Really, really good. I recommend highly enough. Season 2 of Riverdale, the second part of Season 2 of Riverdale, I completely skipped over the first part of Season 2. I think maybe I asked you if it was any good. I can't remember who I was talking to.
Oh, it's the Black Fist or something, or that terrorizing people?
Yeah, I don't know, because I've missed the first half of the season, and I'd asked somebody if I needed to go back to watch, and they're like, no, you can just start when it restarts.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, so I did, and I've only seen the first, like, 2 or 3 episodes, and it's fine. It's Riverdale. It's not like I'm watching it, like, you know.
I'm kind of waiting for Sabrina.
Oh.
Is that actually coming?
Apparently it's coming. The assassination of Gianni Versace, the second season of American Crime Story, so good, with Edgar Ramirez, Penelope Cruz, Ricky Martin, and Darren Criss. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm not really sure I like the fact that it starts with the murder of Versace. Because, I mean, yes, we all knew it was coming, but for some reason it feels like they've taken away the mystery. I don't know, but it just feels weird because now they're sort of jumping back in time, like back and forth in time, and every episode is kind of like you get a little bit of what's happening now with them searching for the killer and how the killer came to Miami and killed Versace. So, I mean, it's weird. I'm not quite sure I'm liking it as much as season 1, the OG Simpson one, but so far it's good. And Penelope Cruz as Donatella Versace is genius. Legitimately genius. And finally, I've only seen the first half, I think it's only 5 episodes, of Mosaic. It's Steven Soderbergh's HBO show that first launched as an app. It was like a guide-your-own-story murder mystery.
Okay.
I know. I don't know anything about it other than I read about it. So he's trying something new because he's Steven Soderbergh, and that's what he does. He disrupts. Mm-hmm. So he did this story that they released as an app for HBO. I think it was called Mosaic, where it was kind of like a tell-your-own-story murder mystery story where you would, like, do your own adventure. Like, you'd follow a character and you'd decide what they did, and then it would unfold the story. So they've also done – he's also directed a 5-episode story. I don't know if it's based on, like – I don't know what it's based on. I don't know what it has to do with the app, if it's totally separate or what. But it's basically a murder mystery starring Sharon Stone – I know, right? And Garrett Hedlund and the spleen from Mystery Men.
Paul Reubens, yeah.
Thank you. And so Sharon Stone is this author who wrote this children's book like decades before, and it's the only thing she's really known for. And she has spun off a children's charity called Mosaic out of it. And these guys that are trying to buy some land that she's sitting on, like basically start to try to find angles to get her to sell because she doesn't want to sell. And that's kind of like the very, very basic premise. That's as much as I've watched. And Garrett Hedlund is one of the two guys that kind of comes into her life at the time that she disappears. I don't know. It looks really interesting. It's Steven Soderbergh, so obviously I'll watch it. And Sharon Stone is like top notch. Nice. And Rubens is pretty great.
I really hope there's going to be more Pee Wee Herman specials because the one on Netflix that they came out with last year was
good.
Fucking awesome.
And that's all my TV.
Yeah.
I thought I'd seen a lot because, you know, I mainlined a couple of seasons of stuff. So, you know.
There you go.
I was quite proud of myself.
Yeah, I didn't. Anything I'd sort of seen before kind of thing. And I was just blasting through while doing other stuff. I didn't even bother bringing up.
Any movies in your list there?
I have two that you'd lent me.
Oh.
I, Tonya, which I quite enjoyed. My mom very much enjoyed. My mom did not enjoy Shape of Water very much. She thought it was weird, and I thought it was one of the best films I've ever seen.
What did she think? Did she say anything about the masturbation scene right in the opening?
No, she didn't. There was sort of like shock silence, like, what am I watching? What?
Because my mom
actually, probably didn't get it the first time.
Okay, that caught me by surprise.
Because my dad was kind of like, what is she doing? I'm like, I'm not telling you that. Yeah. If you can't figure it out, Dad. But you're beyond help.
From someone who loves Jean-Pierre Jeunet sort of films, especially when he pairs up with Mark Caro kind of thing, this wasn't a Del Toro film. This was literally a Jean-Pierre Marco combine.
I wish I had seen this in 2017 so I could have put it on my list because it would have made my top three.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's in my... I haven't made the list for a long time, but it would... It'd have to be in the top 25, if not a lot higher. I am in love with that film. Everything about it hit every right button. There was not a single superfluous scene in that entire film for me. It was all perfect.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed the hell out of that one.
That's it for specifically movies. Oh, there's one Netflix movie I watched. I can't even remember the name of it, but it was basically the story of the main instigator of National Lampoon's magazine.
You're telling me about this in the car.
Yeah, it's interesting. They decided, though, when they'd have comedians, because National Lampoon's, before SNL hit, almost all those people you originally think of, the original SNL cast, they were all working for National Lampoon magazine. So they all went over. So these people are all heavily featured in this hour and 30 minute movie, but they hired modern comedians to fill the roles, even if they don't look anything like it. The guy who they got doing Chevy Chase had the word timing the absolutely down. He sounded like Chevy Chase, just normally talking how you would imagine Chevy Chase would talk normally.
Yeah.
And like the John Belushi character just like Tolga. Gilda Radner was in there kind of thing. Will Forte played the original writer for the National Lampoon kind of thing. And it was brilliant. They even mentioned it at one point. Do you think Will Ferrell actually is 27? No, he's not. But he's me. Because they have like old guy narrating the film. Yeah, it is pretty decent. I like that. So that's it for movies for me.
I just want to go on record as saying, like, I was not too thrilled with I, Tonya.
That's all right.
You're in the minority.
I'll happily be in the minority. There was a lot of aspect. Like, Margot Robbie is put in a great performance, and
Allison Janney.
Oh
was,
my god,
like, kills it!
Wow, but and the storytelling style, I kind of like breaking the fourth wall and stuff. But I really know enough of the story that I guess I just couldn't get into the movie because of the actual real story.
Yeah.
And I don't know. She doesn't need to have her career rehabilitated. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be happening anytime soon.
It's very much fictional. Like, yeah. There's no mistaking it in my mind. But that said, hell of a good story.
Agreed.
Hint on story. It's a hell of a good story. Yeah.
Dale, what you got there? You got a very long list of movies, I see.
I do. My Man Godfrey from 1936, William Powell. Wow, this movie could be like almost word for word remade today.
It's brilliant.
And still be topical.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
I was kind of really impressed. And it's one of the, from that list I've been working off of top 100 films. That list will come up later, so I'm mentioning it now. Coco was really good, the Pixar film. I was really concerned about it maybe being a bit disrespectful to like the whole Mexican culture, but I haven't heard that. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful story. Three Billboards. I think we talked about this already.
I'm a big fan.
I think I am favorite. Again, I wish I'd seen it in 2017. It would have been my top film. Like, the film was amazing. Frances McDormand was amazing. The whole story concept, like, I was just when you think it's like, because I don't know, when I see a movie, I'm always pigeonholing characters into narratives. Oh, this is going to be the good guy. It's going to be, okay, we're going to have a twist here. He's going to become the, it's yeah. like, this film defied me doing that, and I loved it for it. Yeah. Just when I thought I had things dialed in, something else would change, and yeah. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then combined with the performances, I just, yeah, it was a great film.
And it's funny when it probably shouldn't be.
Well, but I think that's,
I don't know how it works.
That's part of the humanity of that film, right?
Yeah, that's it.
It's, yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to laugh because otherwise you'd cry.
Yep,
life, too much. Life is inherently not fair.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like,
that's why you tell terrible stories at funerals and weddings. For levity.
Well, it's, none of the characters were good or bad.
No.
I mean, that's what I love. And I saw an interview with, I forget who, and I was trying to figure out, so what is this movie really about? And said, yeah, it's about forgiveness. And it's like, ah, of course it is. Can't be about anything else. Yep. And, yeah, loved it for it. Really bizarre, from 1975, Adolf Hitler, My Part in His Downfall. I don't know if you've heard of a comedian named Spike Milligan.
I have.
He wrote a biography, and that was what he called it. And this was about his serving in the war.
All right.
In World War II. Yeah. it was kind of fun to see this old British comedy from 75. I don't know if I can strongly recommend it, but it was a fun watch. Victoria and Abdul,
which I still haven't seen. I really need to fix that.
it was okay. I mean,
it looks really charming.
Judy Dench is always good.
Yeah,
some of the scenes were good. Overall, the movie,
he looked very pretty.
Didn't quite work for me. That was actually, that's part of the joke too.
Oh,
in the beginning, there's a joke where definitely his looks come into it, which is just fun and totally handled. We talked about The Shape of Water. I watched A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Oh, and?
You know, if it wasn't so on the nose, it might be fun. Like, a little bit more subtlety in the writing. Like, I love the concepts that they're playing with. And, I mean, they had Bransky in there and Catherine Hahn. Some great... why can't I remember the... From Jupiter Rising.
Mila Kunis.
I mean, the performances I thought were good, but I don't know the direction or something. Anyway, it was a little bit over the top, so not a big hit, but I didn't actually regret watching it. It just was kind of like, felt like a TV movie.
Okay.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. From 1953, based on a Broadway musical. It was lots of fun. I still don't get the big thing about Marilyn Monroe. But
I like her sidekick in that way better.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And her outfits are the bomb.
Oh, I definitely get why the movie was popular. Joy the hell out of the movie.
So good.
Yep. So I wish I could remember the name of the...
The brunette?
Russell? No.
Yeah, Jane Russell maybe?
No.
Yes, no.
I don't know.
She was in one of the Marilyn films.
I don't actually know. Dale's looking to look it up.
Dale's looking it up. Dale's the man.
I just remember I fell in love with her costuming. I just thought like the outfits she wore were spectacular.
I've never been a...
Yeah, it was Jane Russell.
It was.
Jane
Russell, never been a huge Marilyn Monroe fan. Just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Usually it's the people surrounding her that are far more intriguing than she is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she did fine.
I think she does. She plays the role that she plays really, really well.
Yes.
In all of the movies that she's in, few that there are. But I, for me, in general, prefer blondes. I prefer Jane Russell's performance.
Absolutely.
I just liked her a lot better, and I could kind of relate to her a lot more. And really just loved her costumes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, the chemistry between them was really what made it for me. Yeah. Like just having that juxtaposition.
Yeah.
And then, it was really well done. Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little bit overrated. Like.
And, I really like that movie.
I should have written his. Why can't I remember names right now?
Goldman.
No. Who?
Yeah,
who
Gary Oldman.
Oldman. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this is his best performance. Like, I kind of feel like he's getting nominated for this because of his career.
Okay, so I think it's because it's actually a good movie. Because the thing to remember about Gary Oldman is he's been in a lot of really shitty movies.
Dracula.
Okay, that is actually a good one.
I knew it.
Like, over the years, like, you look at his IMDb, like, there is a lot of really questionable material in there. Like, really bad movies. Like, genuinely bad movies. He's always just really good in everything.
The Nicolas Cage. The off-brand Nicolas Cage.
He kind of is. This is definitely a career nomination. And I think he's going to win it because of that.
Wait, was Gary Oldman the foil in Fifth Element?
He was the bad guy.
Yes, that's right.
Like I say, he's always really good.
Yeah.
The movies just don't always meet the quality of his performances.
Yeah, Lost in Space.
Oh, but I mean, Lost in Space is really good, too.
Oh, come on.
I like Lost in Space. Yeah, okay. I didn't think it's that bad. Okay, not really good, but it's not bad. It's not terrible.
Okay. I would be just fine with him winning an award. I think he deserves an award. Actually, I shouldn't say that until I know who he's up against. But anyway, yes, Darkest Hour, which was... Yeah, like I enjoyed it, but I guess I had my expectations built up by some of the buzz. Like I kind of expected something a little bit more better.
Mm. More better.
More better.
More perfect.
I finally saw Alien Covenant. It was okay. Yeah.
Pretty much.
So again, on the top 100 list, Exterminating Angel from 1962.
Oh, yeah.
Louis Brunel movie.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought Colleen might enjoy this. It's surrealist. These kind of high-class folks go into this room for dinner, and then they just can't leave. They don't know why they can't leave. They just can't walk out the door. And they're trapped in there for like 3 days. So they're like...
That's when you cut the drywall open.
And that's what they did.
Nice.
To get water. It's...
I've never seen it.
It's really atmospheric. It's subtitled. I don't know whether that... And maybe because it was made in 62. I just...
Buñuel movies just have never... He's just
okay.
A little too... artsy for
but
me or
top
something.
100 I mean, it was funny, like there was definitely some aspects of it that I quite enjoyed, but overall I was like okay.
And no Bella Tarp.
Last
no, thank God for that.
Last and well, maybe not quite least, but a little bit least, is the Nut Job animated film.
Yeah,
actually I enjoyed it.
I think this one was fun.
The story didn't quite 100% work. Like some of the character arcs just didn't bring it together to be
Scrat, right?
No.
Other franchise.
The main lead is a squirrel, and they're going after nuts, but it's not Scrat.
Okay,
like it has no affiliation with Ice Age at all.
Perhaps then I haven't.
But it definitely was a fun romp.
I saw Whatever Happened to Monday, the Netflix movie with Noomi Rapace playing seven sisters.
Oh.
In a futuristic world where they've decreed that families can only have one child, and if you have more than one child, the children are rounded up and put somewhere. They don't really tell you where.
Under the floorboards in your space station?
Apparently, or all something. Right. I don't know. Cool. But so, actually, if you could bring up, I can't remember who the main...
Whatever Happened to Monday?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It has another name, too. I can't remember.
It's not finding
just
it.
Just look up Numira Pass and it'll come up. I can't remember what else they called it. It's okay. The concept is really interesting. Basically, Monday so he names each kid after a day of the week. And then basically when they're old enough, they each go out. They share an identity, basically. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's interesting enough. I like the concept of the future world. It's just turns into an action-packed
movie. There it is. Oh, What Happened Monday?
Oh, What Happened to Monday?
All right.
That's the one. I thought it was okay. Glenn Close plays a really great bad person. She leads the child protective agency that basically rounds up the kids.
Of course she does.
The extra kids, yeah. And so you know...
Cruella DeVille, baby. Yeah.
Essentially, things are going to go wrong as soon as you see her on screen. I saw American Made. This is Doug Liman's movie based on the true story of Barry Seal, starring Tom Cruise as Barry Seal.
Oh, right.
He runs drugs and guns for the CIA. Maybe. Maybe not. I just, you know... It's just fun. It's well made. There's lots of action.
Is that the one where he broke his foot on or something?
No, that's Mission Impossible.
Oh, okay.
There's actually a really great video. There's a clip of it on YouTube. I'll see if I can dig it up. The Mission Impossible crew was recently on Graham Norton, and they brought video of the exact moment when Tom Cruise broke his foot. And they have you see the stunt from three different angles, from behind, from the side, so you see him jumping the
Are they
gap,
playing Chariots of Fire the theme and slow motion?
No, but so you see the stunt the first time and it looks okay, except you know when he lands on the other side that things are not quite 100%. And he explains what was going on, and then they slow motion and close up on the foot.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty. And the entire time, what's his name?
Cruise?
No, you're one of your polygamous husbands. Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Simon
All
Pegg
right.
is I haven't actually seen this footage. I don't want to see it. The whole thing is, it's Coward. 5 minutes long. It's very, very funny. Oh, God.
Can I just say the funniest Graham Norton thing I've seen lately was his interview with Macy Williams
from Game of Thrones. Oh, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
So everybody wants her to repeat Aya's kill list.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And put their name at the end.
Oh.
So he's like, can you do that now? And one of the, I forget who, was Tom Hanks and another guest, and someone's like, that sounds kind of fun. And she has it memorized.
Of course.
So she does it.
Yeah.
The Mountain, Kilgane, Tom Hanks. Graham Norton. And Hanks, actually, I don't think he was expecting it, because he hadn't said that, but he kind of flinches a little bit. It's really fun.
Because who doesn't want to kill Tom Hanks? Who here at this table hasn't fantasized about killing Tom Hanks? Oh, it's just me.
Sorry,
then.
Just all right. Sorry.
Of all the people I would put on my kill list,
he would probably be the last one I would think about. There,
yeah. As I apply makeup or lipstick and reach over the couch to cross them off. Yeah.
I also finally saw Spider-Man: Homecoming. I love the sidekick Jacob Batalon.
Oh,
is
yeah.
amazing. The rest of the movie is meh.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was fun. Don't get me wrong. The whole story concept just blows my mind. If you're trying to make money, I think you brought this up.
Oh, someone.
If you're trying to make money, why are you selling alien-grade weapons to street thugs?
I actually think that was
Melissa. It makes no sense. It legitimately makes no sense. Otherwise, I actually thought it was okay. I also saw the the Green Lantern.
Wait,
Ryan Reynolds?
With Ryan Reynolds.
I'm sorry.
Why? I actually enjoyed it.
Really?
I really think that movie got totally lambasted for no reason.
Oh.
Don't get me wrong.
I was thinking The Green Hornet. I'm like,
no.
What?
Which is also not totally terrible, just mostly terrible.
as I raise my eyebrow.
Okay, so my thing with the Green Lantern, I hadn't seen it. It was the first time I saw it. It happened to be on TV. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll check this out. The special effects are really bad, even for the time, because you look at the cell phones that they use and you realize how old it is. I'm like, okay, well, even then, I think that was already kind of pushing it. But I don't think it's that terrible. Like, the story wasn't that terrible.
I have pushed so much of it out of my mind. I remember seeing it. I actually don't remember too much about it anymore.
And I mean, I'm sorry, Ryan Reynolds is just so freaking charming.
Well, you know, I think that was part of it for me was I think they wasted him.
That is true.
Because the thing that I remember about that movie more than anything else was at Comic-Con, kid in the audience in question asked him to do the Green Lantern oath thing. And he did it on the spot.
Yeah.
And goddamn, was that kind of moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, if nothing else, it brought us the couple, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds,
yeah,
which is winning Instagram and the internet every day.
Well, and you know, you look at what he's done with Deadpool.
Yep.
And I think, yeah, I kind of blame, I don't know, the director or the scriptwriters or both.
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think it was totally terrible.
My nephew told me Deadpool's the greatest movie ever made. And I said, have you seen it? And he goes, no, I'm not allowed. Then how do you know it's the greatest film? Because it is. I'm like, all right. On your bike, you stupid idiot. Love you.
The Polka King, based on the true story of Maya Forbes.
I remember the title. I don't.
The Polka King on Netflix?
Yeah.
I've watched the first 20 minutes so far.
With Jack Black and Jenny Slate and Jackie Weaver about the real life
Jack Polka Black King. Makes a good Jan Vegan or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's surprisingly so this guy's basically running a period scheme, and the story is really interesting, and they've actually just put the documentary that the movie is loosely based on Netflix as well. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm planning to, because the story is really interesting. The movie just kind of is bland.
Yeah.
Like, the performances are really good, but the movie just kind of goes nowhere. It's still... I don't know. Jack Black is just kind of fun to watch, and so is Jenny Slate. So I'd say, you know, if you've got nothing else, give it
Jason,
a go.
Jason...
Schwartzman.
Schwartzman, yeah.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
And then I went to go and see Forever My Girl. I don't know if you remember this from January. It was the movie about the country music star that goes home and discovers that his ex-girlfriend had his baby. Oh, it looked really cheesy based on a book.
Yeah.
Okay, so we went to see it because we won free tickets. And it's like, oh, date night. I went with a girlfriend. And it's so not as bad as we thought it was.
Oh, that's good.
It is very, very cheesy and totally predictable. And so nothing new. But you know what? It's kind of charming.
I have a place in my life for movies like that.
Yeah,
sometimes you need to know, you know, sometimes you want a cheese sandwich.
And honestly, the cinematography really impressed me. Like, that movie looks way better than it has any right to. Like, it's actually, visually, it's actually interesting.
Hmm.
Like, they do some interesting things with the camera that you don't expect from, like, basically a TV movie. Is essentially what it is. It's perfectly likable. I mean, we really enjoyed it. It was fun. It has way better than it had any right to be. And those are the movies that I've watched the last month.
Hooray!
Books?
I broke open another 3-pack of Peter Robertson books.
I don't know who he is.
He's an author who wrote a lot of police sort of crime novels. I think I talked last time about it. It's like Midsummer Murders, but book form. But in the 80s, so there are no cell phones, so everything's hardwire, and there's lots of drinking and driving. It's like, well, I've only had 3. I should be fine. I'm like, what?
When one for the road literally meant doing one more round.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bunch of shadies. Like, wow, that's not kosher nowadays, but 1980, I'm sure that was fine. It is good. So if you're looking for a 1980s police crime novel, Yeah, Peter Robinson, the Banks series, Inspector Banks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's pretty good. I liked it. So that's the only book I've read.
I am so not standing up to my reading cred.
I actually have I made myself one of my New Year's resolutions was to read more. So I have been trying not to watch TV or movies on my commute home. So I've been reading instead, or at lunch. So I've been reading instead. So I've actually managed to read books.
Nice.
Wow.
So
I'm impressed.
I'm impressed with myself.
I'm not even being ironic.
No, I'm impressed with myself. I don't know how long this is going to last, so I'm going to make it last as long as possible.
Or I should say sarcastic.
So I read Annihilation, James Vandermeer's novel.
Annihilation.
I think it's Annihilation. Sorry, I said it wrong. I'm starting to get tired. Can you tell? I'm still... It's funny because it's one of those books where I kind of know what I read, and I was sort of following along the story, but a lot of the time I wasn't actually sure what was going on. Like, the scenes were unfolding, but everything was kind of just so esoterical that I didn't really fully grasp what was going on.
Yeah.
But I still found it super compelling. Like, I really, like, enjoyed reading it. To the point where I didn't even take it to Book Crossing because I honestly think I might read book 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I put it on the shelf and I'm like, okay, I'll hold on to it for a couple of weeks. And if I pick up the next book, then, you know, I'll release them together. But yeah, so I enjoyed it enough that I kind of thought, okay, well, I'm going to hold on to this and see if maybe I'll read the next books. I read Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House, the Michael Wolff.
Nice.
I don't even know what you want to call it. It's basically a very meticulously... timelined account of the first year, well, the 6 months leading up to Trump going into office and then the first year in office.
Yeah.
There's really nothing in there that you haven't heard about or seen on TV, on the news, but it was actually kind of fun to read. It's a conversational style book, so it's almost like you're just talking to some guy who's telling you these stories. And so it actually is kind of fun, but there's nothing new in it. And I didn't think any of it was particularly explosive. It's just, it's the Trump White House.
Just reaffirming what we already know.
Pretty much.
I love that Canadian university professor who also wrote a book called Fire and Fury.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting
his backup.
Second Wind is wow.
I love it. Because actually when you look it up, that's the first thing that comes up. And finally, I read... The Below Girl, this is Bianca Zander's novel about this young woman named Suki who returns to London after being away for 10 years after, I guess, her mom died. And so she moved to New Zealand and ended up living there for 10 years. And she's gone back to London, but she doesn't know anybody there anymore, doesn't know the city, doesn't have any money. And she's basically like feeling sorry for herself and being kind of a loser. And in the process of over like 3 months, she kind of finds herself, I guess. It's actually not bad, but it has some supernatural elements that I really didn't care for, and it just did nothing for me. So I thought it was okay. That's all I read, which is not bad, I would say.
You beat the pants off of me.
All right. Podcasts.
Go for it.
I briefly was doing finishing work, which allows me to listen to like 10 hours at a time of podcasts while working. And then I got ripped off that and went to a 6-story wood frame walk up, which is loud, dirty, wet, damp, you know, good times.
Sure.
So I don't have as many as I was thinking. Like I went from 50 up to 65, but there's only really one I'm going to talk about. It's called The Bridge. It is a weird sort of, at some point in the future, they build an intercontinental sort of freeway.
Okay.
And on the bridge, there's these sort of watchtowers every 200 kilometers or something like that. I don't know how many there are. And I guess there's sort of been some weird sort of event happen that no one really ever uses it anymore. But there's still people stationed at these watchtowers, and they have a radio tower, so they are supposed to give like traffic reports and weather reports to people who aren't on the road. And so the one lady is just telling weird stories about what happened on the bridge kind of thing.
It's
really quite weird. I've only about 5 episodes in kind of thing, but it's an original sort of idea, yeah. And I am liking it so far.
Cool. I like the concept.
It sounds fun, yeah.
I don't listen to a lot of like non-fiction podcasts, so... To me, they always sound really interesting, and I never actually listen to them.
Yeah, at work, like because you sort of almost have to concentrate, I mostly listen to sort of like more news, like Planet Money and things like that. I can sort of half listen to and not worry about missing the plot.
Yeah.
Any podcasts?
A new one. I want to get the name right here because I've been... It is called Comic Lab, and... Way back when webcomics first started out, there was this group of 4 webcomics who did a podcast whose name I've forgotten. And I don't know why, but a lot of times I get interested in the craft of something and maybe not necessarily the final product. Mm-hmm. So they talked about doing webcomics and the business of webcomics and just some kibitzing. The chemistry was really good. So that ended, and then 2 of them have just created a new one. It's like they've done 2 episodes. Brad Geiger, who does Chainsaw Suite and forget Evil Inc., I think, and Dave Kellett, who does Sheldon, who I really enjoy, and he has another one that I'm not so keen on, but that's his favorite thing now. Anyway. The 2 of them just basically talk about doing webcomics, and it's anything to do with like the business side, a little bit of the drawing side with that, craft related. And I just find it really interesting to listen to, even though I am never, ever going to do a webcomic in my life.
No, never say never. The only podcast that I've been listening to that's new, but which I have been listening to a lot, is Slow Burn, a podcast about Watergate Leon Neflack, or Neon Neflack. I'm not actually quite sure how you say his name. And basically, I think it's like 8 or 10 episodes, and he has gone deep dive into Watergate. Like deep, deep dive. Like each episode is. Have you listened to any?
That's
of it?
One of the ones that I downloaded, but I haven't listened to yet.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, like every episode, he focuses on a different aspect of Watergate. One of the most recent episodes is where he was talking to some of the guys, like the lawyers that were working for the committee on the Bloody Sunday when Nixon went and fired everybody. And a lot of these guys are still alive and they're still around. And they talk a little bit about what happened that day behind the scenes and leading up to it and how they went in there before their cards basically got disconnected and basically stole all of the material that they had been working on. It's just fascinating. If you're, I think it's a Slate Plus podcast. So if you're a Slate Plus member, you get like a bonus episode every week where they do, you get like the full interview with whoever they're talking to that week. But I'm just finding that the connections between, people have talked about it before, but that stuff that went down at during Watergate, you look at it now and you're kind of like, well, it doesn't look too far from what's going on in the White House today.
Seriously.
So it's really timely in that way. But generally, it's actually just a really, really interesting podcast about basically like the inner workings of espionage.
Those stuff are always fascinating.
Totally.
Like, and as it's unreeling and the threads that do it.
And how like Nixon was legitimately paranoid. Like he was legitimately crazy. Like,
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Like the you just have to listen to him. They play some of the audio from the wires.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's crazy. Like there was a reason why he taped everything. He legitimately thought everybody was out to get him.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's totally insane. But yeah, I cannot recommend it highly enough. I think by this point, it's probably almost over. I think they're almost at the end of the show, but it's worth listening to. It's really interesting.
Well, I forget what podcast. It might have been Pod Save America. They were talking about how the original sort of investigation was about Russia. And apparently it's really hard to basically square that circle. There's a lot of circumspect, like it looks bad, but it's really hard to prove any collusion. Like it's really difficult. So if Donald Trump had kept his mouth shut,
yep,
it would be a very hard investigation to do. Yep. But the one on obstruction is looking more and more clear cut. Yeah. Every day, something more is like you opened your mouth again.
Yeah.
And we've just made the case harder and harder for yourself.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's the whole, I mean, to this day, when it's like, yeah, it all started with a break in.
Yep.
You know, it's just like the thread starts.
Yep. Yeah. Totally.
Cool.
Yeah. It's been a busy couple of weeks, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks or so with the March preview. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that seems January kind of went fast.
Yeah, that seems
unreal. Keep saying that, though. Every month is going fast.
It is. And we'll be back with a preview very soon. So until next time, be sure to come on by etcpod.ca for the links to all of the stuff that we've been talking about. And we'll link to the podcasts and the books and whatever else. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So until then.
We'll see you after the credits.
Ripped back.